Hi, everyone, and welcome into Scrambled Eggs, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast here on Crack Sidewalks. Once again, Joe McCann and Phil Bush here. And once again, Phil, we're talking about a couple losses for our Golden Eagles. Unfortunately, last week, they played two games, lost them both, one disappointing. And the sad thing about the Xavier loss, Phil, probably one of the better games Marquette has played this year overall. Unfortunately, it still ended with an L.
Yeah, that was a Xavier game where they played probably 37, 38 minutes, and in those 38 minutes deserved to win. Too bad the games are 40 minutes long.
Yeah, the turnovers continue to be an issue, and we're going to talk a little bit about that here in the show today. And we'll talk about maybe what is left for this Marquette team this season, and we're going to wrap up the show with a little look at just some minor recruiting news at the end of the show. But Phil, let's just first talk about last week, and we were talking before the show here about, gosh, it's just so frustrating, but shouldn't be surprising with this team, that they're young and they give us some performances that make you scratch your head. It's like, how could they be this bad? And then they turn around with a game against Xavier and like, wow, how can they be this good? Because it was looking like for a while that they were going to pull off a major upset against Xavier on Saturday.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And I wonder how much of it is the styles of play that have impacted, you know, Seton Hall, both games, both home and away, had a fighting chance in the first half. And then in the second half, it's like we completely melted and Seton Hall just ran away with it. I think Seton Hall's physicality kind of overrode any talent disparity that Marquette may have. And then Xavier was less of a physical game and more was about straight up basketball. So that's maybe why you make the difference. But talk about tale of frustrating for different reasons. They're just tough losses to take.
It seemed like Seton Hall got some runouts that were really frustrating, got some quick baskets, and they weren't able to slow down their guards. Like Whitehead continues to be a Marquette killer. Seems like every time we play, he has a big game. And that was another game where, you know, one of the criticisms for Marquette this year is maybe at times they are a little soft down low, that they do get bullied around a little bit. And they got beat on the boards that game. And, there were so many missed bunnies right around the basket, you know, and those baskets that whether it's Fisher or Ellenson or I think that's – wasn't that the game with Sandy Cohen just kind of airballed one right by the rim?
No. That was the Xavier game that Sandy airballed one by the rim.
But anyway, it was just – wow. You know, there was just so frustrating to see that they could play so well at times. But Seton Hall was just another game where they just got bullied, and I guess it is just a matchup thing that they just can't run with the Pirates. And Seton Hall just seems to just bully them down low, so – and then you turn around against Xavier, one of the best rebounding teams in the country, out-rebound them by 9?
Yeah.
I guess 8. 35-27 was the final count. Marquette had 26 defensive rebounds. Both teams had 9 offensive rebounds in that game. But it was just a great rebounding performance overall against Xavier. Sandy Cohen had 9 boards. That's as well as he's rebounded probably ever.
Yeah. Well, and he's been on a rebounding tear because he had 7 against Butler. I guess it's been an area of focus, not to pick on players, but Sandy's been one of the guys that's really struggled. Like we mentioned, the aforementioned missed layup and a couple of, he's one of our better 3-point shooters, and I think a couple of his shots didn't even draw rim. So there's been some struggles in various places. With
his shot has been in a bit of a funk in Big East play, and that has been a concern, but it was at least good to see Sandy at least perform in other areas,
yes,
and he was able to rebound
defensively
well.
And rebounding, contribute in different ways.
Yeah, but, man, it just kind of bums you out because, you know, one big win or one big loss can really change the perception of a team, and had Marquette pulled off a win against Xavier, I think we'd be coming into this podcast this week, Phil, with some cautious optimism about this team, about how many wins they could still get in the conference. But, you know, the plague for this team, really, maybe we don't talk about it enough on this show, is the turnovers.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
There's some critical ones late against Xavier, but, I mean, it's been a theme all year.
Well, and it's not just is it turnovers generally, it's unforced turnovers. The number of, and this is where I have an issue with the folks that kind of say, hey, you know, young team, they're inexperienced, they're going to make mistakes. Well, that's fine if you make mistakes, you know, driving to the hoop and you end up you know, committing a charge because you just didn't know how to position your body right. But if you dribble the ball off your foot out of bounds, or you fumble the ball away and don't make a clean catch, those are unforced errors that the other team is not causing that I get at the beginning of the season, but we're still committing them. That's the part that baffles me from the turnover standpoint. I mean, we're now at 316th in the country in turnover percent. Like, most of the crappy non-conference games we played, those teams are better at not turning the ball over than us.
Yeah, that is an alarming number. Out of 350 teams, 351 teams.
I mean, that's got to be more than just youth and inexperience, right? I mean, what else can explain the turnovers being that bad?
It's got to be a chemistry thing, because, you know, part of it is just got to be, you know, you're passing the, you know, you're looking for guys to pass to, and they're not where you expect them to be, or not where you're used to them being, and it's maybe still part of a young team getting used to each other, and it's a little late in the season to not have any chemistry. But I mean, I just don't know what else it could be. You know, you got me thinking, Phil. I'm wondering how many like major conference teams are even in the same area as Marquette and turnovers. I'm just scanning the bottom of the country as I'm looking at the list of highest percentage of turnovers on KenPom. As I scan down the list, the only team that jumps out at me, DePaul. Hey, Liberty. I know somebody who plays there.
That plays point guard? Who could that be?
But actually, he's playing pretty well, I have to say. But then, that's it. I mean, other than that, there's no other major conference teams. You're looking at – it's all small schools like Grambling State, Nicholls State. St. John's turnover is not as bad as Marquette's. They are actually a few slots higher.
You're right.
Yeah, they're about 10 spots higher. And then, yes. So, yeah, they're all small schools. Oh, man, you know who worst in the country is? Bradley, who's coached by?
Brian Wardle.
Yeah.
You know who I am?
We can't get, like, just as Marquette ties all over these turnovers.
It used to be toughness. Now it's turnovers.
It's contagious. But anyway, as we get off topic there, I don't know what the cause is necessarily. I know we can blame youth and inexperience. But the bigger thing, I don't know what the solution is. And I'm not sure Wojo does either, because if he did, he would have fixed it by now.
You would hope.
Yeah, it's just, you say, well, quit turning the ball over. Just quit turning the ball over. And it's easy to say. It's like telling a pitcher who walks a lot of people to just throw strikes. Well, he's like, well, no kidding. I'm not trying to do it. And I think with Wojo, in Wojo's situation, I know some people were discussing on Twitter after the game on Saturday, maybe why wasn't Tracy Carter in the game a little more late? And I guess my answer there would be, you know, it's not like Tracy is immune to the turnovers either.
No, I think he's one of the culprits at times.
But also at times, you know, it's better just to have a true point guard out there, and he's the only guy who fits that description. But I think in Wojo's case on Saturday, you know, they were trailing and they needed points, and at least from a shooting perspective, Dwayne Wilson and Hanif Cheatham had two of the stronger performances in the game.
Right. Yeah. And I think 11 of the 20 turnovers.
And see, that's the problem Wojo has to deal with. He needed points, and he needed some three-pointers, especially late in that game. And, you know, Tracy Carter hadn't shown much in that regard in that game, so he just has to put the guys out there who are going to score and hope they don't turn it over. Because, like I said, if it's just one guy turning it over, well, it's an easy fix. You sit that guy. But it's everybody. It's especially the guards. It's Cheatham, it's Wilson, it's Carter. If there's really nobody on the roster who's immune to turnovers. Henry Ellenson has his moments when he has a bunch of turnovers. Juwan Johnson turns it over. There's nobody on the roster, I would say, is really secure with the ball. So from Wojo's perspective, it's just not like he has a lineup that he says, well, this is my no turnovers lineup. I mean, every lineup is going to be plagued by turnovers, no matter who he puts out there. So he has to match up based on who are the guys who are scoring or who are the guys who are defending. And he just has to hope the turnovers don't happen or hope they are a little more careful with the ball. But I don't know if there's a drill or how much you can fix in mid-season to get the team to stop turning the ball over.
The only thing I can think of is if you look at Marquette's average possession length, you know, they're top 50 in terms of pace. They are a fast pace. Now, some of that pace is because they turn over the ball pretty quick in the shot clock.
Right.
But some of that is that Wojo wants an up-tempo offense. You wonder if maybe they don't slow it down a little bit, you know, and take a little more time and possess the ball. You know, I'm not saying go full Wisconsin here, but
yeah, please don't turn me into Virginia.
Right.
I can't deal with that.
No, absolutely not. But I mean, you can come off the gas a little bit and see if you trade, you know, it's almost as if Wojo's saying, well, we're going to have a bunch of turnovers anyway, so we got to create as many possessions as possible just to overcome the number of turnovers we're going to have. It's like he's saying it's a foregone conclusion that we're going to have turnovers.
And the thing is, Marquette actually is not bad on the other side of turning their opponents over.
That's true.
They're almost top 100 in the country. As we record this on Monday night, they are 101, as there are games in progress as we're recording this too. But that's roughly where they are. They're close to the top 100, which means they're definitely in the upper third of the country as far as turning their opponents over. But as we've already mentioned, they are right near the basement as far as turning the ball over to themselves. So, I mean, something's got to change. And, you know, I think we've said several times is you love having Cheatham out there, but point guard is not his strength. I don't know if you could break it down by position, but I would bet a high percentage of Cheatham's turnovers come when he is the point guard.
I think that's probably pretty accurate. I would say the majority of his turnovers probably come when he's the point guard. But, you know, I don't think Tracy Carter is the answer full time. And I certainly don't. I mean, Dwayne had 7 turnovers himself and Xavier and wasn't even playing the point. So I don't know that you have an option to not play Hanif.
You wish Rousey was eligible this year, don't you? I mean, because then you put him at the point, and he's a guy who I would hope is going to be a little better taking care of the ball, but that doesn't help you at all this year. But, you know, there's nobody you can go pick up. You can't make a trade. You can't sign a free agent or bring anybody in who's not going to turn the ball over. So at this point, it's just going to have to be – I mean, that's going to be just to be a flaw that you're just going to have to wear. And, you know, again, you could say stop turning the ball over, but it's not that simple. And I mean, it's just a part of who they are right now. And it's something maybe you could refocus and totally, you know, reshape your team in the offseason where you can bring in some different guys. Like I said, Rousey's eligible next year, and maybe you can shape the point guard spot a little better and maybe change the offense some to limit your turnovers. Like I said, maybe slowing it down would help a little bit, because maybe when Cheatham does get revved up a little too much, that's when he kicks it around. So sadly, basically what I'm saying is the turnovers suck and I don't have an answer for it.
Right. Well, and it also should be in the other conclusion is for the last 7 regular season games and however many tournament games there are, there will be turnovers.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You're just going to have to play around it. You're going to have to shoot the ball well enough. You're going to have to turn the other team over enough and convert your own fast break points, and hopefully your guys in the paint are able to muscle their way in and get a few easy baskets that way and just score enough points that, you know, your turnovers don't matter. And I will say this, one positive, Phil. You know, after the big win over Butler when Marquette shot the ball unusually well compared to the rest of the season, we kind of thought, we may never see a performance like that again. Well, they shot the ball well again on Saturday against Xavier. So that's twice in 3 games that they've actually shot the ball fairly well. I hope it's the start of a trend. Maybe we can continue shooting the ball a little bit better, but at least it gives me a little bit of hope that the Butler shooting performance was not a complete fluke.
Well, and I mean, if they've managed to get in the top half of the NCAA in 3-point shooting percentage, which is good, and they're top 80 in 2-point shooting, so the offense is there. If they can just, you know, limit a little bit of the turnovers, you know, the offense is coming along nicely in terms of the shots they take. They have a tendency to make more than they miss, and the defense is solid. You know, so there are plenty of options there. around being successful and making this team go. It's just going to be a question of how are they performing that given night, and that's where the youth definitely shows up. The other positive I would take away is Juwan Johnson has seemingly kind of stepped out and is really, you know, with the ball in his hands, is really starting to do some things. I think we've got a legit fourth option on offense.
Yeah, I'm really, like, honestly happy for Juwan Johnson, who, after his first couple years, you kind of wonder if he was ever going to put it together, you know, and if he was ever going to be a significant player at the college level. And he is really putting it together to kind of living up to the expectations that came with being a five-star, four-star, high four-star prospect when he first signed with Marquette. And I'm really optimistic for Juwan, especially for next year, when I really think he could put himself in a position to play for money. I'm not saying NBA, but he could play professionally somewhere, you know, overseas, wherever. Because, I mean, there are a lot of guys who have been at Marquette who are playing overseas and doing pretty decent money. And I think he is actually putting himself in that position where I think he could have a really strong senior year and, you know, play basketball after college, which I think is great for him because he is a talented kid and he's really starting to show what he can do. He's been aggressive, you know, attacking the basket. He's shooting the ball better. He picks his spots as far as shooting three-pointers and does a pretty good job there. And I think his defensive intensity is fine and, you know, it could stand to improve, I suppose. But I'm really happy for Juwan, and as you said, I think it's good to have him out there. I think that's why one of the guys Wojo definitely wants on the floor late in the game, because more often than not, he makes pretty good decisions offensively. And I think he's a guy you trust with the ball late, maybe more than just about anyone on the team, as crazy as that sounds, just because some other guys are either a little sloppy with it, they kick it around, they turn it over, or, you know, they just can't muscle their way inside as far as the big guys go. Juwan seems to be a guy that you kind of want with the ball in his hand late in the game, I think.
Yeah, well, and I mean, he's always had the ability to get to the rim, and what I think has really helped that I'm a huge fan of is he's kind of developed a mid-range game where he can drive to the rim, but if it's not there, he can stop and pull up and hit a floater or take a, like I said, a mid-range jump shot or something like that. And Dwayne's even starting to get that a little bit. And I think that's a really positive development from Juwan on his offensive game that I think will start to pay dividends, because he can, you know, he forces the offense to adjust, and, you know, he can stop and pop, or he can pass it out if there's someone open if they collapse on him. There's plenty of opportunities, especially with, you know, Henry and Luke wandering around down low. So it'll be interesting to see how his offensive game continues to improve throughout the rest of the season and what that does for Marquette's performance as a result.
Yeah, if he wants to break through and have like a 30 or 40 point game sometime, I wouldn't hate it.
I'd suffer through it.
Yeah, but again, great. I think Juwan Johnson's progress has really been quietly, honestly, one of the best, most positive storylines from this Marquette season, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, and it probably points at player development, right? I mean, we've always under Buzz, we talked about how Juwan Johnson, he's going to turn a corner, he's going to turn a corner, and never really turned a corner. And now in his second year under Wojo, has seemingly, like you said, starting to live up to what we thought his potential. You know, if he was playing this way last year, we'd be saying, oh man, this guy's great, he's going to have a breakout season next year. You know, so maybe it just came a year late for him, but he's really starting to put it together. So we definitely need to, it's easy to get down, and I've been as guilty as anyone, to get down, you know, get down on the team overall, but Juwan has been an extremely pleasant positive, and I think, like I said, it bodes well for the staff, demonstrating the staff's ability to develop players.
Yeah, hopefully we can see more of that from other guys too, because I think some other guys have been a little slower to come along, but most of them are young too. And you would think hopefully guys would maybe start breaking through as sophomores next year, all these freshmen we have on the team. But as far as immediate concerns, Phil, Marquette has 7 games left in the regular season. Don't know if you noticed, but Marquette kind of alternates 2 home, 2 away the rest of the way. They have for a couple weeks here. So we got 2 home games coming up this week. Interesting thing, if you look at the projections on KenPom, all of Marquette's next 3 games, they are projected 1-point dogs. That includes the 2 games at home this week, Providence, and which is Wednesday, and then Creighton on Saturday the 13th.
Which is a rare night game in the Bradley Center.
That'll be exciting. I hope we get a really big crowd there on Saturday. I honestly trust we will.
Yeah, I think we will.
Yeah, I don't see a reason why not. I'm not saying it'll be filled to the corners necessarily, but I think it'll be a nice, loud, rowdy crowd, hopefully.
Yeah, what'll be interesting is last year the Creighton crowd would kind of a Creighton contingent showed up, and I was less than thrilled with them. So it'll be interesting to see if that, you know, starts to develop a little bit of rivalry if they kind of
bring
show up
your and take fighting gloves just in case.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
no, please be civil. But I think it's an important week because, you know, as we talk about expectations and what we realistically hope for the team to accomplish the rest of the way, I mean, if you want to talk NCAA tournament talk, you can torture yourself if you like. But I prefer to think in more realistic terms, and I see two realistic goals for this team, Phil. One is getting a resume that's good enough for the NIT. And for me, I think getting to about 7 wins in conference, I would feel comfortable. 6, maybe borderline. I don't know. It's hard to judge what the NIT is going to be. But I put that as kind of one thing. So I think they need to find 3 wins here in these last 7. And the other thing, which is a tad optimistic but not unrealistic, would be finishing 6th in the conference. Because if you do that, then you only have to win 3 games in Madison Square Garden to steal a bid to the NCAA tournament. Whereas if you finish in the bottom 4, then you have to win 4 in 4 days.
Yeah, I think the NIT is probably the must do, right? I mean, the finishing top 6 makes sense and something you definitely need. But the NIT is the must do because this team needs experience, it needs extra practice, it needs pressure games. So I think you're right. You probably got to win 3 games. So it's almost like you got to win one of 2 games every week for sure.
Yeah, basically you get a one win a week the rest of the way. Take it easy there, buddy.
Yeah, I'm surviving.
So this, I think this week is important for Marquette to get at least 1 win. If they could find a way to get 2 at home, then I think they'll be in great shape. Then they really need to find 1 more win the rest of the season. I think I'd feel pretty confident they get an NIT invite. But as far as this week goes, of course, with Providence, a team that may be in a bit of a funk because they've dropped out of the top 10 and they're now in the around 20 in the polls.
Right. They're still top 50 in KenPom.
Yeah, and they're still a strong team. And of course, you never know what Chris Dunn's going to do. He could go off for a triple double, a triple double on you at any time.
What'll be interesting is if Ben Bentel's at full strength because they were missing him last week. He was there in body only.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. That's kind of part of their funk. They've lost 3 out of 4, and not having him has been a big part of it. Now, granted, one of those losses was to Villanova. There's no shame in losing to Nova. They're the team. They're the number 1 team in the country, actually, right now as we're recording this. But, yeah, so, I mean, you hate to pick on a team when they're down, but you got to do what you got to do. So if Bentel isn't there, you would hope that would be another game where Fisher and Ellison can go to work and hopefully get a lot of points in the paint. And I think not just them necessarily. I think that's when the guards should be not hesitant at all to drive to the basket. So guys like Cheatham and Juwan, who really thrive driving to the basket, you would hope Mark could get a lot of points in the paint if Bentel's not ready to go.
Right. There's not a rim protector there really to help out on the drive. So certainly hope you get some. Of the two, I think Providence, as weird as it is to say, I think the Providence is probably the easier of the two games, quote-unquote, to come away with a victory. Mostly because we've played them. We know we've been able to hang with them. That was one of the, until the Butler win, that was probably our most impressive win of the conference season was the most impressive win of the conference season. So it'll be interesting to see how the team reacts to a hard fought Xavier loss that, you know, maybe could have gone their way.
Right. Like, you would hope they're not going to be too discouraged after giving it all they had and then losing. You know, I hope they can take the positives out of that game. Say, guys, look, we were right there with a team that might go to the Final Four, you know, then in their place, you know. And I think that's, you know, again, I know people hate moral victories, but I think when you're in a situation like Marquette, you got to take positives where you can. I think Xavier is damn good. I honestly, especially because there's no dominant team in college basketball this year, number ones keep losing all over the place. I don't see why Xavier couldn't be considered a team that has an honest shot to make it to the Final Four and win the whole thing. You know, I think they're honestly that good. So to go to their place and take them to the wire and really just be a few turnovers away, to be perfectly honest with you, from winning the game, take those positives, remember what you did right, and just, gosh, you know, again, we said this earlier, it's easy to say, but if you don't turn the ball over, man, you win a few more games. And I think if they could just take care of the ball this week, again, easier said than done, they could come out with a win or two this week, and I think that would be great for their confidence as they go into the final 2 weeks of the season, where they would essentially be playing for seeding in the Big East tournament.
Right, absolutely. Well, and that's, you know, who knows? I mean, with the next three games on the schedule, are they winnable? Yes, they're winnable. I mean, you could get the three wins they need to kind of feel confident about an NIT berth and a top six finish the next three games, or they could lose all three, and all of a sudden you're really scrambling, including having to potentially upset the number one team in the country, which would be pretty sweet, but probably not likely.
Hey, it's on National Marquette Day. Anything can happen, baby.
Well, those usually result in us playing really tough, really close, but heartbreaking losses.
Yeah, that tends to be senior night.
You're right.
Tends to happen. I would love to know the record on National Marquette Day, if there is such a thing. But honestly, I like Marquette's chances to get a win this week. You know, the next three games, they're 1-point dogs, so hopefully they can get two. I'd hope that they can get two wins, because I really don't want to live in a world where Marquette's getting swept by the DePaul in the regular season. So, but again, they actually have a week off between Creighton and DePaul, so they have a full week to prepare for the juggernaut and the mental torture that is going down to DePaul and trying to win there. But I think the more immediate thing, like you said, Phil, if they can get Providence while they're down a little bit, who knows what you're going to get from Bentel. I think it's a winnable game, to be perfectly honest. And this will be our first look at Creighton this year, who has really been one more of the overperforming teams in the Big East, is it fair to say?
Yeah,
like, I thought they would be near
really
the bottom.
I don't think anyone really expected this out of them.
Yeah, and they've turned out to be a pretty nice team. And Marquette actually goes into a stretch where they'll play Marquette, or they'll play Creighton two out of three games, because they go Creighton, DePaul, Creighton would be their next three games after Providence. So opportunity is there. Like I said, I think realistically you got to look at trying to get three wins in your last seven. And if you do that, I feel good about the NIT, and then we'll see how many wins they can get and maybe hopefully get to, get to sixth place in the Big East tournament, which is that's my highest realistic goal for this team the rest of the way. Finish in sixth, and then you take your chances in Madison Square Garden and try to play bid thief. So,
yeah, well, the Creighton game will be an interesting matchup simply from they play actually faster than Marquette does. And they're a fairly good shooting three-point team. So it'll be interesting with Marquette's three-point defense and Marquette's pace, but DePaul or Creighton doesn't turn teams over all that much. So it'll be like all of our strengths will be their weaknesses and all of their strengths will be our weaknesses. So it'll be interesting to see how that one shakes out. It should be a fast-paced, up-tempo, like back-and-forth game.
And the thing is, I always fear the superstar. That's what worries me about Providence is I'm always concerned the superstar is going to go off, and maybe calling Isaiah Whitehead a superstar may be a bit of a stretch, but he is kind of that kind of player, and he's killed Marquette a couple times this year. So I worry about Dunn being a little steamed after getting his buzzer beater, you know, turned back in his face by Henry in the last game when which is Marquette's best win of the year going up to Providence.
You mean Dwayne Wilson?
I thought Henry got it.
Oh, Wilson! No, Wilson got the one, that crazy circus shot that he threw.
I'm talking Henry got the block.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Dunn got the attempted a buzzer beater that would have won the game,
yes,
but Henry Wilson
right.
got the block.
Yep,
so,
you're right.
But yeah, Dwayne Wilson did hit a big shot in that game. That is true. So again, we'll just kind of cross our fingers, and basically kind of what Wojo is doing. You put your best offensive players out there and just hope the turnovers aren't an issue. And again, I don't think it's a fixable thing at this point of the season, but you know that's kind of what you're going to have to live with for the rest of this year with this team, is just like just try to outscore your turnovers, and yeah, that's all you can do.
Yeah, you just got to keep getting up every time you get off the mat, or every time you hit the mat, you got to get back up. So whatever other sports cliche we can come up with, let's hope they can pull off, get at least one of two, get rested, take DePaul, and then you're looking at Creighton, Nova, Georgetown, Butler, winning at least one of those to secure some opportunities. And you know, going back to the tournament real briefly in terms of the sixth place, not only is it the sixth place in terms of the bye, but if you finish sixth, you'll likely avoid Villanova until the end, which is something you really need.
Yeah, that is true, because yeah, because that's where the bracket's set up, because you play the 3 seed, then if you upset the 3 seed, then you get the 2 seed. So avoid them as much as possible. Not that you'd be too thrilled about playing Xavier.
Yeah, but I love at this point, I love a second crack at them, because, yeah. I mean, we fought them tough both games. So
it's tough to beat a team 3 times, and a lot of teams have been doing beating Marquette twice. So
speaking of sports cliches.
Yeah, but it is, you're looking at KenPom, Marquette is, it's basically 4 of their last 7 games are predicted essentially 50-50 games. Because we mentioned they're 1-point dogs in the next 3, and they're now a 1-point favorite against Georgetown in their last home game of the season. So, like, that DePaul game has switched for whatever reason from a win to a loss in the last week in the predictions, and Georgetown has flipped from a loss to a win. So they're still only going game by game, you only predict them one more win for Marquette. But 4 of those could go either way, and then 3 games they have basically, according to the numbers, almost no chance of winning. At Creighton, at Villanova at home, and then at Butler.
Statistics, what are you going to do?
Yeah, numbers, they do lie sometimes. Yeah, but we'll see how that goes. Before we get out of here and wrap up the show, I do want to just touch on a couple quick recruiting notes. Again, kind of minor news, not that anybody's committed or anything, but if you were perusing Twitter on the MUBB hashtag today, you probably saw there are 2 Marquette offers that were extended on Monday. One is Jordan Bowden. I don't know if it's Bowden or Bowden. He's a 6'5 shooting guard. He's from South Carolina. He plays at something called 22 Feet Academy.
Okay.
Never heard of it, but it sounds like an outstanding institution. He plays there, 6'5", 175 shooting guard. Apparently, he's a guy who's just had a really strong senior year, and major programs are just starting to take notice. As of right now, the only other major program, I say major meaning Power 5 plus the Big East, that has offered them is Utah, and apparently Connecticut is interested. So that's basically kind of gives you an idea what Marquette's up against there. So they offered him. And the other one, this is a name you've probably heard before if you're a big recruiting honk. Khalif Young, who is a 6'9 power forward. He's actually from Canada. Plays at Orangeville Prep. He was offered per multiple reports on Twitter on Monday evening. This one's a little more interesting to me, Phil, because if you look at Marquette's roster and the way it projects the next few years, if you're assuming Henry Ellenson leaves, if not this year, certainly next year, they're going to need some size, you know, starting in 2016-17. So I think having another big on the roster certainly interests me a lot as you look at the roster taking shape for the years to come.
Well, that's until this Xavier game, that was one of Marquette's, other than turnovers, was Achilles' heels, was the rebounding. Mm-hmm. Even with Henry Ellenson, who's kind of an elite level rebounder right now, so having him off the roster, there was going to be a definite deficiency in terms of rebounding. So it's good to see we're going after size. What's interesting is both those names pop. One of the things we've seen in with Wojo's recruiting is he seemingly does not do volume recruiting. He does not.
Right.
He does not seemingly offer, you know, everyone under the sun. He seems to make 2-3 offers that are, you know, strategic in nature, if you will, and then he goes and he runs after those guys hard. So you would think if it's a surfacing that these guys are someone that he's offered, that there's, I don't want to say there's a good chance, but I would have to think the staff feels pretty comfortable in terms of where they sit with those recruits.
Yeah, we talked about that before. It's, you know, I'm not sure there's a right way or a wrong way necessarily, but we've seen in with, you know, coaches in the past, Buzz Williams and others, you know, with other schools, that, you know, the kind of the thing is you offer 20 or 30 guys, right? And then you basically say, look, we've got 20 or 30 offers out there. If you commit first, then, you know, we have to take those others off the table. Where Wojo's is a little more deliberate, and he stays in touch with guys, and there's plenty of recruiting going on, but he's very patient and deliberate as far as who he offers. For example, like a guy there in Milwaukee, Antetokounmpo, easy for me to say, Greek Freak's younger brother.
Right, like that's, a little Greek Freak.
Yeah, but he's a guy Marquette has been connected with a lot, but there is apparently not an offer there yet. So I think that's a situation where they have been recruiting and they have been talking to him, but I don't know if they're still involved with him or not, but there's no offer. So it's a difference between how they recruit, and not because they have an offer doesn't mean they don't care, but they take their time as far as who to say, look, we got a spot for you next year. So that's kind of what they have, I think, here with Young, is they say, look, we have a definite spot for you. We want you on the roster. Here's an offer. Are you in or are you out? So this he's a guy that I would be interested in having. Like I said, I'm interested in any guy who can add some rebounding next year. Like you said, Phil, when you take out a guy on a team that is a poor rebounding team anyway, and you take out a guy who rebounds at an NBA level, they're going to be hurting next year. So hopefully it changes for the better, and we'll just kind of see what happens with these two guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see. You know, I was hoping we'd have, and maybe we still may, either get a grad transfer or a JUCO player for power forward to really put some beef up front. But hey, listen, at this point, beggars can't be choosers. Let's get what we can, because we're gonna need the help up front.
Yeah, okay, so not major news, but just something to keep an eye on as you're looking towards Marquette's roster for the future. As always, we thank you for listening here on Scrambled Eggs. We always welcome your feedback on Twitter, JoeMcCann3 and MOOF23. Crack Sidewalks is the team page. Go to cracksidewalks.com. You can leave your comments there where we post the podcast. We're on iTunes as well. And we also have a Facebook page where we post the podcast, and you can leave your comments there. Phil, let's just hope for at least one win this week, and then two would be great, and then I'd be feeling really good and, dare I say, optimistic about the rest of the way.
Yeah, let's get one or two, feel comfortable and good about ourselves going into the bye, if you will, and just see where it happens from there. You can only... Again, sports cliche, you can only play the games in front of you, so let's play Providence and Creighton and come away with a victory or two.
And if you're in Milwaukee, we had a great crowd last home game,
yes.
The Butler game. Hope we see another great crowd. I trust there will be a lot of great fans. There will be really loud. Marquette's going to need you, so hopefully that we have good crowds on Wednesday and Saturday. So have a great week, everyone, and until next time, seashells and balloons. I heard Owen make a little appearance there towards the end, so I felt like you may have to get going fairly soon. I heard a little bit of a whine back there, unless that was Leo.